gentlemen. Get mic'd up here. We good? Good. Some excitement out in that hallway. Before I get started, I want to give a little promo on something that I've been talking to Craig about, and something that the Lord's put on my heart that I want to share with you folks. And in one of the songs we sang today, one of the lyrics was, "Lead us in your love to those around us." And so I'm ready to go to some of those around us. And what I wanted to just throw out there today is, if anybody else is having an evangelistic stirring of some sort, I would like to know about it. I think the rough construct of what the Lord is asking me to do is to just make a space and a place to pray for people in the form of maybe a prayer booth at some point in the city of Dalton or Chatsworth or someplace like that, where and I think the key to it is, what I'm hearing from them is, it's about quality, not quantity. It's about being in the same place week after week, or every other week after every other week, something like that, and just simply having a little awning and a sign that says need prayer. It can go in many different directions, but I'm just letting my brothers and sisters know that that's kind of where my heart's at, and that's what I think the Lord is asking me to do, and seeking some partners, if you will. So anyway, glad to talk more about that individually. If you have an interest, you know, please let me know that. By way of a message today, I wanted to use a little play on words here. The Vineyard has a slogan called "Naturally Supernatural," where, you know, you can be full of the Holy Spirit and live life in a way that people don't necessarily think you're weird. It's just the supernatural comes naturally. I want to flip that today. I don't want to talk about being supernaturally natural. And then next week, we'll flip it back and talk about being naturally supernatural. That's a lot of natural. So to kick this off, I just wanted to kind of recap a little bit about where we've been kind of as a group over the last several weeks. This is my view anyway. Y'all can agree or disagree, but I think you'll see some common threads in here. Last week we had John David Kirby here. He talked to us about the kingdom, a lot about the kingdom. He talked to us about revelation, about miracles, about being citizens of heaven. A few weeks before that, we had Darian Cooper talk to us about new wine and a kingdom standard. Craig has been talking to us about the religious spirit, about intimacy with God, and answering God's question, like he said to Adam and Eve in the garden, "Where are you?" And, "I'm over here, God. You know, right where you left me. You got all of me. You can see all of me. I'm right here." That's a hard question to answer in that manner. Then our worship team, you know, God's been meeting us here. And we had one testimony a week or two ago where somebody here kind of felt the whole church kind of rise up into heaven or into somewhere that wasn't right here on this dirt. We went to men's conference a couple weeks ago, and there was a lot of practical teaching, impartation, experience of heaven, and, you know, heaven on earth, or our spirits getting caught up in heaven. Okay, and so I'm painting a picture here because we haven't always been in this place. Well, we have been to some degree, but it's kind of kicked it up a notch here over the last several weeks. For me personally, and I think it's safe to say for us corporately. And I like to reflect on what's going on, because I think for me that helps me kind of see, you know, the way God's moving. If you don't take the time to reflect, it's just, you're just always in obey mode. You know, God tells you something, you go do it. You step back and you get a deeper picture and a broader perspective on some things that are going on. But it's like, I don't know, it feels a little bit like a graduation maybe. You know, we've all had our head down battling. I think back to the first of the year and some of the struggles that folks were going through. And it was battles and breakthroughs, right? Well, I feel like we broke through something here over the last several weeks. And I know that I can say for myself personally, I've received a lot more from the Lord in the last 4 weeks than maybe I did in the previous 4 months or 6 months or 8 months. And that's awesome. I mean, that's where He wants us. That's His heart for us, is to make those deposits in us, to encourage us, to boost us up, and to keep us moving forward. And so all these things are supernatural or have a supernatural element to them. Which that's, you know, it's not normal in society, some of these things we're talking about. So the question is, these things are great, but what's God's purpose for these experiences? And that's kind of what I want to throw out there today. Because there's no doubt in my mind that we were wired to have these experiences with God. And I think that if He had His way, we'd have a whole lot more of them. But it's for something, you know. I mean, sometimes it's just to be with Him and enjoy His presence, and that's great. And sometimes you meet with Him and He reveals things to you for others. And sometimes you meet with Him and He reveals things to you about you. And that's just always interesting. So what I want to do to get into this is I've got 5 scriptures here, and we're gonna get the vegetables out of the way before we get to the main part of the meal. How's that? Can we bring up the first verse, Mike, in Colossians? Because all these things that have been happening, all these supernatural things are kind of predicated on the idea of being in Christ, okay? And so that's what I want to get into a little bit is, you know, what that means, how it works, some of that stuff. And we'll do it by reading through these verses here. So Colossians 3, verses 1 and 4. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Yeah, 1 through 4. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, like heaven. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So it just said that Christ was raised, we were raised with Him, and now we're seated with Him in heaven. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with Him in glory. So it's kind of, if you just read that, the whole thing in context, you're seeing a picture of heaven, you're seeing a picture of Christ in heaven, you're seeing a picture of us in Christ in heaven. Does that make sense? Can we get there? The second one, John 17, 20 through 26. This one, I'm going to have to do this on my phone, because the way that I like to read this one, there's a lot of I's and me's and you's in there, and it gets kind of confusing. So I'm gonna try to paraphrase this thing a little bit and change a few of the pronouns into people. Okay, this is Jesus praying. And Mike, I'm going to read this on my phone if you just kind of follow along with me. My prayer is not for them alone, them being His disciples, okay? So Jesus' prayer is not for the disciples alone. His prayer is also for those who will believe in Him through the disciples' message. That's us. Okay, so His prayer is for the disciples and us. That all of them, us believers, may be one, Father, just as You are in Me, just as God is in Jesus, and I am in You, just as Jesus is in God. May they also, may we, us believers also, be in God and Jesus, so that the world may believe that You sent Me. I have given them the glory that you gave me. So he gave us the glory that God gave Jesus, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved me, even as you and have loved them, even as you have loved me. All right, we're zeroing in here, the last three. Father, I want those you have given me, which is us, to be with me where I am. Where is Jesus? Yeah. And to see my glory, the glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that you, the love that you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. So we're in Christ. Christ is in us. That's a lot of words and a lot of pronouns, but if you can take the time to sort through it, I'm a little slow, so it took me like 18 times to get that. But it's powerful, man. It really is. Okay, Ephesians 1, 17, 18. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We'll pause right there. The spirit of wisdom and revelation is spiritual, right? And this is what occurred to me as I was reading this the other day. Spirit of wisdom is spiritual wisdom. It, you can only receive it through your spirit from his spirit. You know, it doesn't say that it's wisdom of the soul or fleshly wisdom or anything like that. And that's, you gotta make that discernment, because in order to have spiritual wisdom, we have to have a spiritual connection, a spiritual experience. You know what I'm saying? So he's asking the spirit would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we could know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. So when the eyes of our heart get enlightened, where does the light come from? It comes from, you know, the Father of lights, the kingdom of heaven. And so in order to have the eyes of our hearts enlightened, there's a connection there, an experience there that we have to be able to steward. All right, a couple more. 1 Corinthians 15, 45 through 48. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Well, I'm of heaven. You guys are of heaven. He's of heaven. Here we go. It's funny, this morning we spoke about Adam and intercessory prayer, about dust and deity, and there it is. I love it when that happens. Okay, 2 Corinthians 2, last one. In verse 7, now instead you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you therefore to read the wrong verse to the congregation. I think it's 1 Corinthians 2. My bad, Mike. Technology is working on me. 1 Corinthians 2. There we go. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear. Verse 7. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery. There it is. the mystery. You know, the mystery is like, God knows it. He's wired us to know it. But we have to have some experiences to develop wisdom and understanding to reveal the mystery, which makes us even more curious. And so it goes. In verse 9, you know, I love this, what no eye has seen or ear has heard, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. How do we know some of these things? We gotta go to him. We gotta have him show us and tell us personally. So, you know, these are supernatural things. These are things of the kingdom. These are things that come through revelation. These are things that come through intimacy with God and knowing God and really seeking to understand these things that he wants to show us. So now let's go back to supernaturally natural. Now I want to get this, because next week we're gonna go to part two, but I need to make the contrast here. Supernaturally natural, we go to heaven and we're seated with Christ and we're receiving things from God, and it's upward. You know, it's us and him. Okay. Naturally supernatural is when heaven comes to us, it's Christ in us instead of us in Christ. And we're giving of God instead of receiving from God. And it's out instead of up. Does that make sense? And it's really, I mean, this is nothing new. We're always in the tension of the kingdom of, you know, us going up and him coming down and in Christ and Christ in us. And I'm separating it today for a reason, because we have supernatural experiences with God. That's his heart for us. For us. So that he can reveal the mysteries. So that he can tell us the things that eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard about us. So that we can be here on earth, you know, amongst brothers and sisters and people we don't know, everybody God loves, and we know who we are, we have a firm foundation, and that supernatural power can go out of us into our community. So practically, again, what is God up to with leading us through these experiences? You know, what's his purpose? And I've said it a couple times already, but to increase our understanding of him. You know, understanding is a big word. Proverbs 4:7, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. I just always wondered why he put that in there. And then I got a little revelation on it, is that you gain wisdom and you know a thing is right and you begin to walk in that thing. And then as you're walking in that thing, sometimes it's not any fun. When you gain understanding of why you're walking in that thing, you can keep moving forward. Because, you know, the wisdom is, the rubber's met the road, and you understand what the wisdom is for, and away you go. And I want to do something this morning that I'm a tad uncomfortable with, so just bear with me. I'm going to use an experience that I had recently, and I want to, I believe the Lord is telling me to invite some of y'all to go along with me back to this, okay? And so that's what I'm going to try to do. And so what I want to ask of each of you, And what I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to do is, some of you, I know, as I have, haven't gotten the understanding yet. You know, we've got the wisdom, we've got the desire to please God, we've got the desire to, you know, experience Him and to do what He wants us to do, the very thing that He wants us to do. You know, we have that determination, and we're moving forward in it, and it hurts. There's things that are painful, and there's things that we're asking God, what did I do? You know, what? Why am I having to go through this? And I think He wants to quicken us this morning with some understanding on a few things, okay? And my experience here, which I'm going to get to in a minute, it was not a major deal. I didn't fast for 8 days before this happened to me or anything like that. I was in a posture of wanting to understand, and we were coming off of a couple of these examples about the speakers talking about the kingdom and the really good worship, and it kind of seasoned me a little bit to be able to have this happen. I know that for a fact. But as I look around, I see a bunch of hungry people who have been through the same experiences that I have, and so I don't think there's any reason why, you know, the Lord wouldn't minister a few things today. So the context, again, for my experience, was in a posture of intimacy with God, earnestly seeking Him and His kingdom. I had a quiet soul, I was at rest, and I was open to receive. And so, you know, we get done with worship like this morning, just wrecked. Okay. Father, I ask for Your wisdom here, Lord. I just pray that as You desire, that You would let some things float up to some people here. Father, that that You want to quicken their understanding with, Lord, in Jesus' name. And so I just spilled the beans a little bit, but in your mind's eye, if you can, if you have some questions for God about why, you know, why this, why am I having to go through this, why am I having to go through that, this really isn't any fun. I've experienced Your goodness before, and I still believe that You're good, but I'm not feeling it right now. What is that thing? What are those things? You know, there may be more than one. Because we're His children. We are His saints. We have repented, which sometimes you got to repent again for wrong thinking and things of that nature. But for the most part, you know, we're on the path with the Lord. And so that's how I'm coming into this, is we are His saints, and we're moving through some things that are difficult. But it's not like we've done broke the last nine of the ten commandments over the last 3 days 15 times, right? You know what I'm saying? There's a difference there. Saints moving forward. And so you have this picture in your mind of kind of the burden, to put a word on it, that is not necessarily fair, is not necessarily, definitely not something that you want. And so I'm there in a worship setting, and everybody else is on something totally different. You know, it's just me and God. I went up into Christ, figuratively here. And in my spirit, I got a word that applied to me. It was just a simple word. It said, by His stripes, you, Chad. By His stripes, you, Katrina. You, Sean, are healed. We've heard that 100 million times, and I've heard it 100 million times, and I've processed it 100 million times, but it never really got quickened to me, okay? So I have this word rattling around in my brain, in my spirit, and then I was taken to a scene where Jesus was being whipped. Do you remember when Craig showed that up here a couple weeks ago? I mean, that might have been what stuck in my brain. And it was pretty surreal, and I'm not one to have a million visions or anything like that, so I don't really know how to articulate this that well, but it was probably the most vivid thing that I've ever experienced in terms of any kind of a vision like that. And so Jesus is being whipped, and he's already told me that by his stripes I'm healed. And it was probably the coolest thing about it was, it's like, I actually felt like I was in Christ. And where it got real, real personal was, I realized that, you know, he's getting whipped, and it's not a pretty thing, you know, his flesh is being torn and things like that. And then I realized that I was being whipped as well. Okay, whatever the burden is that causes the pain, you know, he was there bearing his own. And he looked over at me and he said, "Chad, you're innocent just like I'm innocent." And it was, how do I describe this? You know, when you're feeling pain, whatever it is for you guys, I know what it was for me. But just him quickening my understanding about this mystery and the fact that he knows that I didn't ask for any of this, that's not his will, you know, for us to trudge through these things like that. But the look in his eye of understanding my situation and me being able to look at him and understand his situation. We were in this together, locked arm in arm, because it's just something that we need to do. You know, it's just something his father called him to do it, and my situation was because he called me to do something, and here we go. You know, we're moving forward. And the pain went away like that. Like that. It's like one of those things where you can, man, I feel so sensational, and that's not me, but it's, you can feel the whip on your back, you know, and you know that things are going on back there that ain't pretty. But the understanding made it to where it's like, you can do this all day long. I know now what I'm supposed to be doing and where I'm supposed to be going, because the Lord showed me. He quickened my understanding on this thing, and no matter what happens, I'm good with this now. I can move forward in it. And there's power in that. There was power in that for me. And making this practical, God wants to quicken our understanding on things. You know, he wants us to have these experiences with him. But I think the only way that we can get there is it's kind of like a discipline, you know. And let me back up here a minute. There's been seasons, probably only one or two really, where I didn't really need to be in a worship service to be up in heaven. It was just a time in my life where it's like, God, you're good. I've experienced you, and I'd just like to do this every day. And so, you know, I'd be laying in bed. I remember sometimes Hillary was in New York with the kids on vacation. It was just me at the house, and you know, before I hit the light, I was there, and it was like my heart's desire just to connect with God and have him. I didn't need to fall down because I was already laying down in bed, but you know, you get the idea. And it was great, and he showed me things and he imparted things to me. And this is it's like a secret weapon. You know, we've got a mission here, whatever it is, that we've got to perform, that he's called us to do. And to move forward in that fully, we need him to quicken some things in our spirit and show us some things that only he knows, to reveal to us some little parts of this mystery that are going to give us the gusto to keep walking when the whip hurts, and keep moving forward to complete the job. And so, being supernaturally natural, we want all of that. We want everything that He has for us. You know, we want to position ourselves and discipline ourselves to seek His face and go up into heaven with Him and have Him show us these things that we desperately need, and then to bring it back in such a way that we can pass it on. You know, we can push it out. We can live the life that He's called us to live, to be the ambassadors that He wants us to be. And I know this is all review, but I feel like we need to seal this thing so that we can take the next step and go out with it. Okay, and that's what I'm saying. And then I was sitting in the deer stand yesterday thinking about all these things, and I was thinking about my vision with the whip. And I got an example from the book of Acts of Stephen. And, you know, he's getting rocks chucked at him. He's dying. And what's he say? Lord, forgive him. You know, he ain't even thinking about the rocks. And then that was just, that's it. You know, that's where he wants us to be, is where we're not thinking about the rocks, and we're not thinking about the whip. We're not thinking about the burden, whatever that is, because we know He's got it under control. We're looking Him in the eye, saying, what's next, God? I'm ready to go. And you know what He does? He works all that other stuff out. He just does. And if He doesn't, it really doesn't matter, because we're in Him. He's in us. Now that's all we need. So to be practical with this, when these things happen, when we get this quickening, we need to make a touch point out of it. Okay, whether that's writing it down, whether that's from my experience, we had just had communion, and so the Lord reminded me that it starts to hurt again, Chad. Here's a touch point for you. You know, go get some bread and some grape juice and sit down, let's talk. Let's look at each other again in the eyes and say, yeah, this ain't right, but we're going to keep moving. So writing it down, any kind of a physical touch point, these things are happening to us for a reason, to edify us, to make us more complete. And you don't want to waste it by just having the in-the-moment experience and letting it fade. Because when you do that, when you write it down, and I'm really slow, so I had to write down that I had to take communion when that happened. It's there for you. You know, as long as you got a notebook. However, so that's the practical side of it. And so, God, I just pray that that You would take these words, Lord, and do what only You can do with them, God. That You would release some people from some things. That You would quicken their understanding, God, of Your purpose. If not Your purpose, Lord, of Your understanding, of Your empathy with what's happening, because you've been through it and You finished it. And You finished it so that we didn't have to hang on to it, and so that we could get some spring back in our step and move forward in Your fullness, God. And I thank You for this time this morning, Lord, and I pray that as we go through this week that You'll bring those revelations, Lord, that we'll have the discipline to make a touch point from it, Father, that'll be with us for the rest of our lives whenever we need it. And Lord, I pray also that You would prepare our hearts in this season, Lord, for the things that are coming next, Lord. We're so grateful and thankful for the things that we've been experiencing with you. We definitely don't take those for granted, God, but we also know that that you need to flow out of us, Lord, in new and exciting ways, in adventurous ways, God, and we want to be ready for that. So we thank you and we love you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.